Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Is doing something in this land that we're living in today, and I know we're having difficult times in America and around the world, but God's still on His throne. Don't give up. Don't despair, because the Lord is still on His throne. Amen. And as long as He's on His throne, it's going to be okay. It may not go like you want it to go. It may not go like I want it to go. The politics of our land certainly are not going in any direction that I would like to see it go. But that's okay, because I know that there's a King of Kings and Lord of Lords who's coming again one day, and all the rights of this world are going to be, all the wrongs of this world are going to be made right. And so I'm not discouraged tonight. Oh, it's easy to get a little discouraged today when you listen to the news and you find out all the crazy things that are going on in the world that we live in, and especially here in America. Things that I never thought I'd see happening, and they're happening now, and things that our government, our world tolerates and allows. I'm thinking sometimes, what in this world has happened to this country? But I'm not worried about it, because I know God is still in control. Amen. God has a plan, and everything that's going on right now in this world is part of His plan. So don't get discouraged. Don't get despondent, because God is working His plan, and He is going to make sure that His will is done. Amen. And we're looking forward to the coming of the Lord. I'm looking forward to that coming. I don't know what your expectations are tonight, but I believe the Lord's coming soon. Yes. You know, I've heard that all of my life, all of my Christian life. I've heard that same phrase, you know, well, you better live right, the Lord's coming. Well, that was, what, 40, 50 years ago? But He hasn't come yet. But He's coming. How do you know, Brother Cash? Because He said so. Yes. And if Jesus said it, I believe it. Amen. It doesn't matter whether people believe it or not. If He said it, it's going to happen. And so I'm looking for greater times to come. I'm looking for the Lord to come. And when He comes, He's going to make all those crooked paths straight. And He's going to do some wonderful things that we can't even imagine when He comes back to this earth. Pastor Powers mentioned that this morning about the coming of the Lord and the millennial reign, 1,000 years of millennial reign. And I just want to put my two cents in right there with what he said this morning. When the Lord comes and the millennial reign takes place, the government of the United States will be under the Lord's command and under His rulership. And we probably won't even need the Congress and the Senate and all of those people up there in Washington right now. They're up there because the Lord's going to have His own people. You know who that's going to be? It's going to be me and you. We're going to come back and reign with Him as kings and priests in this world. You see, the Lord is getting you ready to reign. The Lord is getting you ready to govern. So, you know, it's not all lost. You say, well, I don't know anything about that. Well, when the time comes, God will give you the wisdom and the understanding that you need to do His work and His will during the millennial reign. Amen? And so I'm not worried about it. 1,000 years of peace on this earth. And what a wonderful time that's going to be. And then after all that's done, the city four square coming down out of heaven to this earth. Amen. What a wonderful time God has for us. You know, a lot of people, I guess it's a common fallacy of thought, but, you know, a lot of people think, well, if I can just make it to that place called heaven, it's going to be okay. Can I tell you that the day's coming when heaven is going to be here on this earth? There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. What we think of as heaven now will empty itself, and we'll come back and reign and rule with Christ for 1,000 years, and we'll live on this earth. Usually a lot of people don't know that, but there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and God will rule supreme, and we'll rule with him, and we'll be like Jesus. You remember when the disciples had gathered together in the room, and they were all discouraged and wondering what in the world was going to happen, and all of a sudden Jesus just appeared in the room. Nobody opened the door. Nobody opened the window. He didn't crawl in through the window. All of a sudden, Jesus just appeared in the room. Now, I don't know how you think about that, but I sort of think that when we get our glorified bodies, we'll be able to do that too. Amen. I may decide one morning I want to go to Paris, France. And just with a thought, I'm going to be right there. You say, come on now, Brother Cash, be real. Well, that's real.
Come on.
Whatever Jesus was when he came out of the grave, we are going to be. He's the first fruits of the resurrection, and we're going to follow after that, and we're going to have a new body. And it's not going to be an old, sick, dilapidated, worn-out body. It's going to be a nice, strong, healthy body. No more sickness, no more disease, no more infirmity. You won't get tired again. You won't run out of energy. You won't get sugar shock when you've eaten a half a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. It's going to be a wonderful time. Amen. I believe in my glorified body, I'm going to be able to eat a whole dozen Krispy Kremes at one sitting, and it's not going to bother me. I know what some of you are thinking. Brother Cash has lost his mind, and he's fantasizing tonight. Hey, what is in store for us in heaven and in eternity. We don't even begin to think about what eternity is going to be like. We get a little glimpse every once in a while when you read the scripture and you study the scripture. We get a little glimpse about what heaven will be like, what eternity will be like, and what it will be like when we have eternal resurrected bodies. We're not going to have the limitations that we have today. We're going to be a whole new creation. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that time. My feet won't hurt anymore. Amen. Right now, my feet are hurting. They're screaming. Get off of me! But one day, those feet are going to be healed. And they won't hurt anymore in my glorified body. Amen. What a wonderful God we're serving. Thank you for our music tonight. God bless you, folks. I want you to come back later, and I want you to sing during the altar service tonight, Break Those Chains, however that goes. I want you to sing that song, because I feel like maybe that's how the Lord wants us to end everything here tonight, on that note and on that tune. If you have your Bible tonight, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin with verse 15 and read through verse 21. And tonight I want to talk to you for a little while about being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? And when we read these verses, we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. So let's look at what the Word of the Lord says tonight. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Oh, my Father, add your blessings to the reading and the preaching of the word of the Lord tonight. I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to touch this vessel and to help me to preach this message that I feel like that you've given to me for this night and for this service. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us tonight your very presence and give us a divine and holy touch of your hand. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, gives some very wonderful instructions in this passage of Scripture. He talks about walking circumspectly, which simply means to walk about watching on every hand, looking to every side so that you can avoid dangers and enemies that may appear and come against you from any and all directions, circumspectly, watching, looking, be observant, watching where you're going, watching the direction that you're going in, looking out for enemies, looking out for danger spots and danger places. Live the gospel by watching your conduct. Make sure that you walk the walk. If you're going to talk the talk, then walk the walk. If you claim to be a Christian, then live the Christian life. Don't come to church on Sunday and put on your spiritual face and your happy face and go out the rest of the week and live like the devil. If you're going to be a Christian, live the Christian life. Be who you claim to be. Don't take any shortcuts. Live like God wants you to live and be people who are holy people walking and seeking the face of the Lord. Walk circumspectly, looking, watching, observing, looking to see what's going on around you. And then in verse 18, he talks about do not be drunk with wine. Ruth, I know the joke that you pulled on Pastor Powers this morning. And I just want to let you know this message tonight is not a reflection on your bottles this morning. I had already planned to preach this message tonight, so please understand this has no reference to those bottles of water that had been labeled whiskey and moonshine. Now, I would have thought that of Sister Pat Kinney, but not of Sister Ruth. We know Sister Pat's from Kentucky, too, you know. And up there in Kentucky, they have that Kentucky moonshine. You go down the road to the big tree on the corner and you leave a $5 bill and you come back 30 minutes later and there's a quart of moonshine there. You see, I don't know that. I don't know that by experience, but I think I heard Pat talking about that one day. We're always picking at each other about Moonshine Hollow up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. There is a place in Gatlinburg they call Moonshine Hollow, and what it is, it's a place where you can go in and sample all kinds and flavors of moonshine. And we were up there last year for the senior adult meeting, and I have a picture somewhere of Pat sitting out there in a little setting area. And right beside her was a man who was quite inebriated and leaning over and falling over. It wasn't Herschel either. I just want to go on the record and say it wasn't Herschel. But whoever he was, he had sampled too many samples of North Carolina, Tennessee moonshine. And ever since that time, Pat and I have been going back and forth about this moonshine. And then sitting back over here in the back, Brother Sonny, he's from up in West Virginia, and he knows all about moonshine as well. But the word of the Lord says, do not be drunk with wine or moonshine or whiskey or anything else that you want to put in there. Do not be drunk. And I think the emphasis there, and I've often wondered, why did Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, why did he put that terminology in there? Because there's no other reference anywhere to what he's talking about right here in this 18th verse, not to be drunk. But when you go back and understand that the city of Ephesus was the place where the temple of Diana was. And in the temple of Diana, there was all kind of immoral orgies that went on all the time and was often brought on because of people's intoxication. In other words, they would get drunk and they would go worship the goddess Diana. And as a result of that, and here's something that people don't always realize, when people begin to drink alcohol and alcoholic beverages, one of the first things to be compromised is a person's morality. Things that you would not do under normal circumstances, you do because of the influence of alcohol on your brain. And so I think possibly what Paul was referring to here was the intoxication of the worshipers in the temple of Diana in the city of Ephesus. And what he was trying to say is you don't need to be drunk with wine, but you need to be full of the power of the Spirit of God. In the King James Version, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. And that word excess means debauchery of every kind. In other words, the influence of the wine and the alcohol causes people to do things that are ungodly and unholy. And he said, I don't want you. God does not want you to be drunk. He doesn't want you to be controlled by substances that control your mind and your actions, but be sober and be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He puts that little word, but, in this passage. And I think he is saying there is a better way. There's a better way. Rather than being drunk with wine and committing all of the debaucheries of worship that was perpetrated in the city of Ephesus in the temple of Diana, he says there's a much better way, and the better way is to be filled with the Spirit of God. I think he's talking here about the matter of control. Do not be controlled by a substance that will take over your mind and your spirit. Don't be controlled by the intoxication of this world and the beverages of this world. I think we can understand that. I don't know that I have to go into a lot of depth tonight talking about the fact that we as Christians, we need to stay away from alcoholic beverages. That is not something that we need to be involved in. I may not get to preach again after this message tonight, but while I'm here, I'm going to get my chance to tell you that if you're a Christian, you don't need to be drinking alcohol. I don't care what subject, what name it's called. I don't even know all of those names, but I do know that Pat knows all of those names. And whatever they are, you are not to be controlled by those circumstances. Pick on Pat Knight. You say, well, a little drink here and there doesn't bother anything. Well, have you ever read the scripture where it talks about a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Do you realize tonight that every alcoholic begins with one drink? Do you realize that it all starts with what may seemingly be an innocent moment, but it has a way of consuming you and controlling you to the point that you are no longer in control, but something controls you. I think one of the most pitiful things that we can see is a man or a woman who has given themselves to intoxication, to the place that they're no longer in control, but it controls them. And so I think Paul is saying here, if we want to put all of this in a little nutshell, I think Paul is saying we don't need to be drunk with wine. We don't need to be involved in anything that has a tendency, whatever the substance may be, if it has a tendency to control your life and cause you to be less than what God wants you to be, you need to stay away from it. Amen, Brother Cash. That's good preaching. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We all fight against the lust of the flesh. I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, how often you speak in tongues, how often you run around the church. It doesn't matter. Every one of us in here tonight, we're going to be tested and tried and brought before the lust of the flesh, and it will be a constant battle. I want to tell you tonight, you're never going to get away from it, but I want to tell you also that the blood of Jesus sets you free and makes you whole, and it cannot have liberty and constraints on your body and your mind. Verse 19 of that same fifth chapter of Galatians, he says, now the works of the flesh are adultery. Do I need to explain that to anyone tonight? I hope not. I hope that we all understand that adultery is when a man leaves his wife and goes after another woman. That's called adultery. And then he uses the word fornication. Well, that's very kin to the word adultery, but fornication is usually committed between people that are unmarried who are involved in sexual relationships without marriage. Can I tell you tonight, God has created one of the most beautiful things that has ever been known by human man, and that is a sexual relationship that a man can have with a woman and a woman with a man, but it's all to be done in the bonds of matrimony. I know the world standard is different today. The world would tell you, go ahead and enjoy yourself. Live like you want to live. Take advantage of any opportunity that comes by. But I want to tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven who's looking down upon you and me tonight, and he expects us to live a separated and a sanctified life and avoid those pitfalls that the devil may create for us. Next word he uses here is the word uncleanness. And that word uncleanness means all forms of sexual perversion. And boy, there's a whole list of words that we could put in there for uncleanness, but the Bible talks about that. You say, well, what does the Bible talk about? These matters. Does the Bible talk about infidelity? Does the Bible talk about sexual promiscuity? Does the Bible address that? Yes, and the word is here, uncleanness. Lewdness. And the word lewdness simply means lustfulness. These are the works of the flesh. These are things that we're tempted to be involved in. These are things that worldly, fleshly people are involved in. They live these kind of lives. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelers, and then it goes on to say, and those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now pray tell me tonight, if you will, how people can live in the flesh and do the things that I've just talked about and live those kind of lifestyles and commit those kind of sins and still think that everything is all right between them and God. Because the Bible says that those who commit these kind of sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. Thank you, Brother Sonny. Wave that hand one more time back there. That helps me. So I guess the question tonight that I want to ask then is, what controls you? What is it that controls you in your life? Is it alcohol? Is it tobacco? Crack? Greed? Lust? Impure thoughts? Pornography? Pornography is rampant even in Christian circles today. And I read an article just a while back that said, I've forgotten the percentage of it, but it was a large percentage of ministers of the gospel in America who are addicted to pornography. And it's easy to do that. With the computer world that we live in today, it's easy to go to a pornographic site, and preachers have a lot of time on their hand, unsupervised time. And they're not always in a crowd. They spend a lot of time in solitude. They should be praying and reading the Bible and getting a hold of God, but they are men and they have fleshly desires and ambitions, and if they listen to the devil will pull them into that kind of lifestyle, and often nobody knows it, but I'm here tonight to tell you that God knows. God knows what you're watching. God knows what you're looking at. God knows what you're absorbing. God knows what you're putting into your spirit. And I'm here tonight to tell you these things should not control us. Does greed control you? Lust, impure thoughts, anger, the love of money? And the list could go on and on tonight. We could add to this list on and on this evening and spend a lot of time listing things and subjects and ideas that we could come up with tonight. But the bottom line is that God is asking tonight, what controls you? What controls you? Can I just say to you that God wants you to be controlled by His Spirit. God doesn't want you to be controlled by some kind of religious philosophy or some religious creed. God doesn't want you to be so involved in a religious system that it controls you and tells you what you can do and what you can't do and where you can go and where you can't go, and it sets those tones in life. But I'm here tonight to tell you that God wants you to be controlled by His Spirit. God wants to know that the Holy Spirit that lives within you is in control of your life. Amen. And you may not be where you need to be tonight. You may not be where you want to be tonight. But I'm telling you that if you have a desire to be in the presence of God, if you have a desire to seek His face, if you have a desire to be in His presence, you can find Him and you can know Him. And when you find Him, He will deliver you and set you free and carry you to the place that He wants you to be. God has a will for every one of us here tonight. And it's not His will that you be controlled by the worldly elements of this world, but that you be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible talks about the fact that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach you and guide you. If you're not where you need to be, if you're not everything that you know God wants you to be, and you've been trying and you've been pressing, I want to tell you tonight, keep pressing on. Don't give up. Keep pressing on, because God knows where you are and He knows exactly what you have need of. And the Holy Spirit is in your life tonight to help guide you and direct you so that you can be what God wants you to be. I've been serving the Lord for sometimes what seems like an eternity. Most of my life, since I was 16 years old, I've been serving the Lord. And I must tell you tonight, I haven't always been successful. There have been failures along the way. There are things that I'd like to go back to and redo and rethink and recommit, and I'd like to change. But you know as well as I do, we can't go back and change anything. What has been done, and we can't go back and change. But we can learn from our mistakes. And once you learn from your mistakes, you shouldn't go back and make that same mistake again. Come on, church. Talk to me tonight. When God has brought you and delivered you and set you free and shown you the error of your way and you've repented and come clean with God and God has touched you and lift you up and washed you with His own blood, don't go back to where you were. And don't commit the same sins over and over and over again. The blood of Jesus came so that every sin can be broken. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. The key to rightly living the Christian life is being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Thus we hear Paul giving the imperative command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul is not commanding empty Christians to acquire something that they don't already have. And when he says, be filled with the Spirit, let me say to you, he is not making reference to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every Christian at conversion has an indwelling of the Holy Spirit within them. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so what we learn from that passage of Scripture is when somebody gets saved, they have the Holy Spirit dwelling with them. You say, well, I don't know about that, Brother Cash. Well, let's look over here at the words of Jesus in John chapter 14. When Jesus says, I will pray the Father and he will give to you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Believers are the ones who receive the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is promising his disciples here that when he leaves and goes back to heaven, that another helper or another comforter will come. And that he was speaking of was the coming of the Holy Spirit to fill those believers. For he says, for you know him, for he dwells with you. He dwells with you. But he says, he dwells with you and will be in you. So what we begin to understand then is that when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit in measure in us and living within us. And then somewhere along the way, we need to pray through and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a whole nother subject matter at all. John chapter 1, Jesus said, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, the fulfillment of that promise that Jesus made to his disciples became reality. The day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound upon them as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they heard them speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And so what Jesus had promised his disciples in Acts chapter 1 was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. And there was a time of waiting. There was a time of preparation. There was a time of tarrying. And the disciples went back to the upper room after Jesus had ascended back to heaven. They didn't know what was going to happen. They only knew that that Jesus had said, go back and wait. You know, that's why sometimes we get into trouble, because we don't want to wait on God. We want it just like Pastor talked about this morning, everything, we want it right now. We want to be a full-fledged, God-caring, bona fide, spirit-filled Christian all of a sudden. We want it instantly. But I want to tell you, sometimes you've got to walk through some difficult valleys. Sometimes you have to crawl through some difficult moments. Sometimes you have to cross some mountains. But along the way, God will always be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And whatever you go through in this world, He will be there with you. But all of those things come to help us to become mature Christians who are fortified with the armor of God. And we don't fall down every time a little problem comes along. I get so frustrated sometimes when I see the same people coming to this for the same purpose. I'm thinking, God, when are they going to grow up and get some backbone and learn to stand up for God and be what God wants them to be, become mature Christians in their faith? And Paul then comes along and he talks about being filled with the Spirit, being full of the Holy Ghost. And the words being to be filled in the Greek translation, I know that the word terminology here sounds a little strange to us, but this is what it means. When it says be filled, this is what it means in the Greek. And since I'm not a Greek scholar, I won't try to tell you what the words are in Greek. I'll just tell you what it means. And it means being kept full. He said, what in the world? Well, it said being kept filled. And it simply is saying there needs to be a continuation in your life of constantly being full of the power of God in your life. Don't wait until you have drained the vessel dry and come back to the well of Holy Spirit. Keep yourself full of the Holy Ghost. Pray through every day. Pray through until the Holy Ghost visits you. Pray through until you speak in tongues. Pray through until heaven comes down and touches you so that you walk full of the power of the Holy Ghost, and it's just a continuing experience in your life. You don't have to walk around half empty. You say, well, it's not all bad because I'm half full. You know, so... But if you're going to be anything for God, be everything you can be and be just as full as you can get. Come on now. When Don goes around and buys Krispy Kreme donuts, he wants to get filled full. And when we're living for God and we're walking in the Spirit, we should have a desire to be full of the Holy Ghost day by day by day. We don't need to wait until the next service comes. You can have church in your home. You can have church riding down the road in your automobile. You can get filled with the power of the Holy Ghost anywhere you are. Some people live from Sunday to Sunday, John. They have to come back Sunday and get their boost. It's like plugging them into a battery charger, you know. Sunday morning, line up, everybody. We're going to hook the battery charger to you so that you can make it through another week. We want to get you charged up. Why don't you come in the house of God already charged up with praise on your lips, with glory given to God? When you walk in the door, you don't have to wait till Dennis sings three songs real fast to get you moving. Those old-time saints that I remember seeing in the Church of God years ago, they didn't wait till they got to church to sing and get happy. They came in the church building happy. They came in the church shouting. They came in the church speaking in tongues. old Sister Effie Campbell, she'd lead the way. Man, you didn't have to charge her at all, because every time you saw old Sister Effie, she's charged already. And so what's wrong with us today? Why have we come to the place that we live from Sunday to Sunday? We have to come back on Sunday to get us another fix. We just have to come back for another fix, and we hope that the preacher will preach something that will hit me so that when I leave, I can go home all filled up again. Are you with me tonight? Now, I want to say to you, if that's the way you have to live to make it to heaven, then you keep coming. You come every Sunday and get plugged in. You come every Sunday and get your supercharge. Amen. If that's what it takes for you to make it, come on, man. Don't sit back. Don't stay at home. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Come on to the house of God. If you feel like you have to drag in the door, come in dragging through the door. But when you leave, having been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, go forth in another week and believe God for great things in your life. The word "fill" carries with it three different references or three different terminologies. And let me share those with you tonight. Slide 6. And the first word is pressure. Be filled means pressure. The image is the wind blowing against the sail of a ship and giving it momentum to go wherever that sail has been set to go. And so God allows the Holy Spirit to come into our lives as that pressure that keeps us moving in the right, proper direction. Sometimes I don't know what direction to go in. Sometimes I don't know what to do. Sometimes I don't know what the next step is. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. There are times that we just don't know. But when you come into the presence of the Lord and He begins to fill you afresh with His Spirit, you'll feel the gentle pressure of His Holy Spirit pushing you, guiding you, directing you the way that God wants you to go. The second word is the word permeation. You remember the old Alka-Seltzer? Some of you are still taking those. Some of you live on Alka-Seltzer, especially after you've eaten pizza or lasagna or something like that. You need a good Alka-Seltzer every once in a while. And you know how that works. You take that little tablet out. Well, it's not a little tablet. It's a big tablet. You take it out and you drop it down into the water. And the substance of that Alka-Seltzer begins to dissolve. And it begins to permeate the water. And it bubbles and it bubbles and it bubbles. They've always told me, don't drink it while it's bubbling. I don't know if you drink it too quick, maybe it'll keep bubbling on the inside. But some people could use a few bubbles on the inside. But that water becomes permeated with the presence and the substance of that Alka-Seltzer tablet. And that's what God wants us to be. God wants the Holy Spirit to permeate and flavor our lives, so when people see us and know us, they will know that we've been with Jesus, because we have the flavor of who He is. And then the third word is the word domination. And this is the primary meaning of that word, that terminology, be filled. It means to be totally controlled by the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit dominates our lives. Now, I want to tell you tonight, this is not a takeover spirit. The Holy Spirit will only do what you allow Him to do. He doesn't come into your life and take control of you and manipulate you and cause you to do everything that God wants you to do and everything that is right. He only comes in when you allow him to come in. But when you give him vent, when you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, when you open yourself up to the power of God, the Holy Spirit will come in and dominate your life and help you to be everything that God wants you to be. He doesn't take over your will. We submit our will to him and say, Lord, your will be done in my life. There are practical consequences for being filled with Spirit. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these, but I do want to talk about the first one, and that is when you're walking in the Spirit and you're full of the Spirit, you'll have a song in your spirit, in your heart. God will give you a song in your spirit. God will give you something that will keep you going from day to day. And what I'd like to say to you tonight, get full of the Holy Spirit of God and let God put a song in your spirit, and don't let the devil steal your song. Keep singing your song. Keep singing the victory. Keep praising God for who he is. Keep singing unto the Lord a new song. Oh, I like to think about it this way. Sometimes we all go through this. Sometimes we go through difficulties and we get beat down, and the devil sets traps for us, and we fall, and we find ourselves in the pit, and we find ourselves discouraged. We find ourselves looking down and being down and out, and the devil wants us there. That's where he wants us, to be discouraged and down and out. But I want to tell you about the time the devil knocks me down, a song comes into my spirit. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the mighty diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, what a song of praise and worship. I can sing my way through anything. I know a lot of those old songs, and they're not bluegrass. Now, there might be one or two that has a little bluegrass flavor to it, but I like some of those old songs. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all of their guilty stain. Victory in Jesus, hallelujah, victory is mine. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I tell you what, the devil can knock me down, but God can give me a song that will pick me up and help me to carry on. Don't let the devil steal your song. Keep singing. That's what Paul says when you're walking full of the Holy Spirit. He said, God will give you a song. Songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord, showing gratitude. Well, how often should I do this? He says, always. Giving thanks unto the Lord always. The spirit-filled person will always be thankful for what God has done. In everything, giving thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. For all things, good and bad. When you're full of the Spirit, it doesn't matter what happens, what comes your way, good or bad, you're going to keep on pressing on. You're going to keep on singing the victory. You're going to keep on pressing the Lord, pressing on with the Lord. You're not going to give up every time the way gets hard, every time you have a stumble, every time that you trip on some stone that the enemy has put in your pathway. You're not going to give up. You're not going to quit, because in all things, good or bad, we're going to praise the Lord. In the name of Christ, he paid the price. He paid it all. And then he talks about submitting one to another in the fear of God. I don't know about you, but I think I want to be full of the Spirit. I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but I want to be everything God wants me to be. And God wants you to be full of His Spirit. God wants me to be full of His Spirit. How do you do that, Brother Cash? How do you get full of the Spirit? Simply by presenting yourself into the presence of the Lord and allowing God to fill you with His divine Spirit. Now, can I tell you tonight, it is God's will that every one of us here tonight be full of the Spirit of God. And if you can just believe this, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You see, we just have to keep knocking and keep asking and keep praying and keep believing, because it's a continual experience day by day walking in the presence of the Lord. How many want to be full? I don't want to be half full. I want to be full of the power of God. Would you stand with me tonight? I'm going to ask if you would you just come and join us around this altar? We did this morning, but I want to do it again tonight. I want you just to come and join us around this altar this evening. I don't know what you've come to church for tonight. You may have come tonight simply to worship God. Everything may be cool. Everything may be going your way. You may not be having any problems, any difficulties. But I would say in this congregation tonight, there are people that are struggling. There are people that came in this building with burdens and problems and difficulties. But you're in the right place tonight. I'd rather be here than in the best hospital in this county. I'd rather be here tonight than in the best jail we have in this county. I'm glad I can say I'm in the house of the Lord tonight, because I know that in the house of the Lord, when the Lord shows up, things will happen. Things will happen. God will begin to deliver and set free and make whole. And regardless of what you need tonight, regardless of where you are in your Christian walk with the Lord tonight, can I just tell you that whatever you need from the Lord, He's already available. He's already with us. He's already in this place, and He can break the chains tonight. You may have come in with chains on your life, but tonight He came by to set you free and to make you whole. Sing it, Dennis. Sing it.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.